This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Theory of Mind, the current production of Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park's popular Off the Hill series for families, tells the story of Bill, a teenager who happens to live on the autism spectrum, as he goes on his first date. The play is a revealing look at the experiences of a young person with disabilities, while at the same time, a sensitive, unsentimental portrait of young love. Here to talk with us about the play and how it portrays the challenges of an individual on the autism spectrum are Theory of Mind director Bridget Leek, actor Christopher Michael Richardson, who plays the main character, Bill, and Dr. Jennifer Brown, past president and now volunteer for the Autism Society of Greater Cincinnati. Good to see everybody today. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Bridget, Theory of Mind, it's part of the Off the Hill series. What is the purpose of the Off the Hill series?
So the Off the Hill series that we have at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park is every year we take three plays and we send them out into the community. And it's the three plays are targeted for a specific age group. So we have a show that we send out for primarily elementary school children, secondary school children, and high school children. And so what we try to do is they go everywhere, everything from the greater Tri-State area. So we're really reaching a huge community, and it's part of the educational component of the Playhouse.
Now, what age group is Theory of Mind intended for?
Theory of Mind is intended for the high school age group, but we've done performances for sixth graders. We've done performances at community centers where the ages have ranged from small infants to grandparents. So it's a whole, we get, you know, all sorts of people that get to see the show.
So being Off the Hill lets you perform plays like Theory of Mind in front of a wide variety of audiences.
Absolutely. And it's just been so fantastic because the feedback that we get from the communities is so great. You know, a lot of people, this is their first play that they're seeing or their first exposure to seeing professional actors. And so it's the talk back afterwards is really the aspect that I love about it.
What kind of feedback have you gotten about Theory of Mind from, say, teenagers who've seen it or parents of children with autism who've seen it?
Well, I think Christopher might be the best person to answer that question. He's been on the road much more than I have, but the response has been really, really fantastic.
Yeah, I mean it's been pretty amazing and a little bit cheesy to say, but a little life-changing, you know, to make contact with these people. I mean, we've had parents who have children on the spectrum or who have grandchildren on the spectrum that are really able to sort of connect it to their experience in a really real and three-dimensional way. And we also have, you know, I had students come up to me at a high school performance we did the other day, and they just wanted to thank us for the show because they have siblings on the autism spectrum, and they were so happy to at least see somebody on the spectrum on a stage and to see the story, and it just really touched them. So,
Christopher, how did you go about preparing yourself and getting into character to play the role of Bill?
Well, we've done a lot of research. You know, we're by no means experts, but we spent some time at the Children's Home of Cincinnati, at the Autism High School, sort of volunteering a little bit and working with some of the students there. I also read some books like The Reason I Jump or The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which is a great young adult book told from the perspective of a child with autism. And we also watched a documentary called Neurotypical, which is a really great look at sort of how it affects both people who have autism and families who are dealing with autism. So that's a little bit of the research.
Christopher, can you tell me a little bit more about the story that's being told in Theory of Mind?
Well, it's sort of fun. I mean, you have these two, this guy and this girl, and they're going on this date, and things start to go awry. So I think it's really a sort of beautiful and human story because I think all of us have had that sort of experience where you aren't quite sure what's going on and you don't really know what to say or what to do, but you're trying to have fun and experience life. And Hilo and Bill sort of have that moment. You know, they're going on this date, which Bill thinks is a date, but Hilo does not think it's a date. And, you know, from there, they just kind of go on this little ride.
Right. And if you don't know the part that, you know, Bill has autism, if that's a component that you don't notice in the very beginning, you just think it's a very awkward two 16-year-olds on a date. And it's just awkward in communication, awkward in the way that they behave. And then at the end of the play, Bill does reveal that he has autism. But up and until that point, everyone's just seeing this as a horrible date, just going wrong in all ways possible.
Yes.
And that's what I think people are connecting to. And then when it's revealed that Bill does, in fact, have autism, your perspective really doesn't change on him, but you come to have a greater understanding of who this person is and what he's struggling with.
Jennifer, as a mother of a son with autism, how do you think the play handles all this? How do you think they do in portraying autism?
Well, the thing I like about what the play does is that it doesn't purport to cover everybody with the whole spectrum, because it is such a broad spectrum. Mm-hmm. And the play makes it a point that it's showing one person with autism. And certainly there are similar characteristics across the spectrum, but my son, for example, is almost nonverbal. He is very limited speech, can only tell you what he wants, but couldn't have a conversation with you. So that's very different than Bill. But the play is not trying to say that this is everybody with autism. So I appreciate that about the play.
Your son was diagnosed when he was 3 years old, right back in 1977. Right. How have the views about what causes autism changed since then?
Well, that's a great question, because back then, we were being told that parents caused autism, that parents were being blamed still as late as 1977, that it was something bad parenting that caused autism. Shortly after that, they started looking into more biological causes for autism. But up until then, parents were blamed. Often the children were placed in schools out of the home. So that they would be away from the influence of the parents. But that changed dramatically during the 80s, where parents were no longer blamed. And unfortunately, we still don't know the cause of autism, but it definitely has changed quite a bit.
Well, what is autism, and what are some of the signs of it? Now, we say that it's a spectrum, because it's a wide variety of things, isn't it?
Yes, it's there are some basic components. One is communication, and that can be kind of confusing, because some folks with autism are quite verbal, but a lot of times, even the folks that are like the character Bill in the play, sometimes they will have experienced a language delay when they were younger. And so there's something a little different about the communication, even for the folks that are more verbal. A lot of times you'll see people that can talk quite a bit, but really don't understand as much of the communication and the social interaction. Certainly there's a social piece of it. Being able to kind of take someone else's perspective is very difficult for a lot of people on the autism spectrum. So I would assume that even the character Bill, that's one of the things that he has a hard time doing. The example of him thinking this is a date is fairly typical. Bill's making this assumption because he's really not understanding the perspective of the other person. And that's true for folks across the spectrum, that difficulty with social kinds of things. And then an awful lot of folks with autism spectrum, on the autism spectrum, have difficulty with sensory things. They have, they're sensitive to sounds or visual kinds of things. A lot of the time light will bother them, or smells, but a lot of sensory things that show up in an autism spectrum disorder.
And we're really not sure what causes this.
We aren't. Most researchers believe there's something genetic going on. Some people also believe that there's something environmental, whether it's something unknown in the environment. But yeah, it's very controversial, and we've been looking at it for some time. But I feel that we're maybe a little bit closer than when my son was first diagnosed, but we're still not there.
And fortunately, we've given up on the idea that this is caused by bad parenting as well.
Yes. Yes.
Because that creates a stigma for the entire thing. So.
Yes. Yes. They're very sad for those parents back when they were being told that they caused the autism.
And that had to be tough on you when that was the main theory. Christopher, it's kind of interesting that Bill is a big fan of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
Yeah.
That's a real group, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have really great music. We describe them as like soul, but all of the kids also seem to connect with the music, not knowing what it is. I mean, it is a sort of older sound.
How much of their music is in the production, Bridget?
We have four or five songs that we play during actually the course of the show, and then all of our pre-show music is the group. So, and that's something else that we discovered in doing our research, is that usually there's one thing that someone on the a spectrum is, you know, a little obsessed with, or you know, and for him, it really is this musical group. He just loves them. That's all he wants to talk about. And it's his interest is so great that he wants other people to be interested in it as well. And so the date is he's actually taking Hilo to go see the concert and see them his favorite band perform.
Christopher, how do you feel about playing the part of Bill? Do you think that you're helping people gain a better understanding of what it's like to be on the autism spectrum?
Well, I think I look at it a little bit differently. I think that doing the character of Bill or performing the character of Bill is important to me because of the story that I think that it's telling, and what people are receiving from the story. I don't know if the fact that I'm portraying with somebody with autism or that like I'm taking on this sort of like task is really the best part of it. But honestly, the best part is just seeing what people are taking away from it, hearing what people have to say about how it's moved them or changed their thoughts or their lives or their connections with autism. So, I mean, that's really the best part for me.
Bridget, how do you feel about directing Theory of Mind?
It was something that was very daunting when I found out that I was going to have to take on the play. I mean, the nice thing is the script is so well written. It really is, on the surface, a wonderful story about two awkward high school students. But underneath that, the structure of it is so well done. And so it ebbs and flows and moves and has a progression that feels very natural, feels like just a really great play without it being under the context of, oh, this is a play for young people. I think it's a play for everybody. And so it was a little daunting knowing that I was going to have to take this on, but working with such great actors like Christopher and like Kelsey and like Alex, they really helped create a rehearsal space that felt like we could try everything, we could try anything. And I kept pushing Christopher as well and saying, you know, why don't we try it today? You know, it's just sensory overload. Like visually, it's just too much for Bill. And then the next day, what if we try it? That everything he says, he just shouts right back because he's not in tune with the volume of the world that he lives in. And we just kept trying and playing until we found something that felt truthful. And I think the play that we've created is such a gem, and it's been such a delight for me to work on.
So there are three characters in the play.
There
That's
are.
Bill, mm-hmm. right? And then Hilo.
And then Hilo. And then Alex Purcell actually plays all the other characters that the couple run into over the course of their evening. So he plays the parking attendant guy, he plays a police officer, he plays the ticket taker. So he has a lot of costume changes, but he represents sort of the authority of the play. And so it's these two young people and Bill, who's sort of fearful of authority. And so that he keeps, you know, every time their date sort of deteriorates, they run into someone who sort of tries to set them on the right course. And instead, Bill has a bit of a freak out because he's not used to dealing with people that aren't within his sort of social group.
And who plays the part of Hilo?
Hilo is Kelsey Torstveit.
Okay. Now, Jennifer, years ago, it was 1 in 500 children were diagnosed with autism, but those numbers have risen steadily. What are they today?
According to the CDC, the latest numbers, the Centers for Disease Control, is 1 in 68, which is just a huge increase.
That's a big increase from 1 in 500. Now, is that because we're better at diagnosing autism these days? We recognize it?
That certainly is part of it. We have better instruments. We are more familiar with autism. Doctors are looking for autism when they see some of these characteristics, and so they're more likely to diagnose it than they were in the past. But I think most people believe that there is an actual increase as well.
Bridget, you feel like this play is making a difference and it's helping to educate people and make them more aware of what's...
I definitely think that's the case. It's also been really interesting to watch how much the audience is aware of autism as well. I mean, we are so... The audiences that we're performing for, even though they are high schoolers, a lot of them, part of their required reading is Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It's, you know, it's part of their reading. So they are aware of it, or they know someone with autism. And so what I think we're doing with this production is just expanding that discussion and, you know, really talking with them afterwards about specifically Bill's journey. But I find the audiences that we're performing for are very educated on the subject.
Christopher, has this been an eye-opener for you doing this?
Yes, most certainly. You know, I actually don't know anybody in my immediate life or in my immediate family who has autism or has been diagnosed with autism. So it's sort of been really eye-opening to me, because I remember reading Curious Incident when I was little and loving the book and loving the story, but not really understanding what was going on. So to be able to revisit that and to revisit, you know, autism and just sort of be a part of this great production has been amazing and very changing to me and my life.
Bridget, we were asking Christopher earlier about how he prepared for his role. How did you prepare for directing this? Was there anything extra that you did?
In addition to the research, I felt like I had to sort of direct it backwards. You know, when I direct, I try to make everything as realistic and as sort of normal as possible. So the speech pattern. So it's, you know, trying to make it universal. And I felt like with working with Christopher, it was almost sort of like working backwards. Well, he doesn't have the same responses. So how do we adjust his objective? How do we, you know, play with what he's working with, because it is so different from the way that someone without autism would behave.
Jennifer, one of the interesting aspects of Theory of Mind is the study guide that was created for educators, and you advised the Playhouse on developing the guide. Now, talk about how that's being used to help educate students about the autism spectrum.
Well, it is being used when the play is being done for students in at schools, places.
Yeah, so what the Playhouse does is they actually provide teaching artists before we bring the show into the classrooms. We actually send teaching artists from the Playhouse to go and work with classes that are seeing this production, and they have an hour-long session with the teaching artist where they go through the study guide, they do acting exercises, they talk about, what is it like being with someone who thinks completely differently than you do? And then we perform the show for that school, and then we do a follow-up with that same teaching artist that talks about, so what were your thoughts about the play? Did you think it was going to be like the script that you read? And so that's another just component that the Playhouse provides for the audiences that we're reaching.
So my role was more to just kind of look over the guide, make sure that there wasn't anything in there that wasn't correct, mm-hmm. and also that the points that it made were things that would be important to these students who are learning about autism, learning about the play.
And even without the pre- and post-show workshops, the guides are available from the Playhouse, so students and people at the community centers can have access to those as well.
And how would they do that, Christopher?
They're on the website. Okay. I believe they're on the Playhouse's education website. If you look for the touring off the hill portion, you'll be able to find them.
And they really are very good and quite accurate as far as describing the autism spectrum and some of the characteristics and what a person can do. Mm-hmm. So I think they're quite effective.
How much work went into creating the study guides?
I personally did not create them. Our education associate and Mark Ludwig, our education director, creates them. But they were really helpful for us as well, you know, as we were coming towards the end of our rehearsal process, to reread them and be like, oh, right, I forgot about this one component, or, oh, great. So knowing what our audience knows ahead of time is also incredibly helpful.
But they were definitely quite thorough and covered really the autism spectrum very well.
Have either of you ever been involved with a play that was anywhere near like this, or is this a first time thing for both of you?
This is really a first time thing for me to be directing a play like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the first time that I'm working with a show like this in practice. I've been on the tour before. I was on the previous Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park Off the Hill tour, Roses and Thorns. So this is my second time with the whole shebang,
yeah.
if that's the case, but yeah.
So, Bridget, how long will Theory of Mind be running?
We'll be running through the 22nd of February.
Yeah. Okay. Jennifer, what do you think is the value of doing this?
Well, I think that anything that we can do that informs people about autism spectrum disorders and keeps people thinking in terms of what an autism spectrum disorder is really important. Also, for those families who are impacted by an autism spectrum disorder, this helps them, I think, feel less isolated, to know that the community is interested in autism spectrum disorders, to know that there are, to meet other people out there that are in a situation similar to them. So I think it's just, great for our community.
Well, Bridget, Christopher, and Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Theory of Mind director Bridget Leek, actor Christopher Michael Richardson, who plays the main character Bill, and Dr. Jennifer Brown, past president and now volunteer for the Autism Society of Greater Cincinnati.